I'm so excited today to have Scott Goodrich on the podcast. Scott has an entrepreneurial spirit that has been burning since his teenage years when he built a lawn mowing service and managed multiple paper routes, a business owner in training. After graduating college, Scott had a successful career as a sales and operations executive, but his desire to be a business owner was never far from his heart. 7 years ago, he and his wife, Jen, took the plunge and started their own business. Like many others, they spent all their time on the struggle bus, dealing with cash flow issues, trying to make payroll, and handling staffing issues. Ultimately, they persevered and learned some incredibly valuable lessons along the way. And now Scott is dedicated to helping others avoid the pitfalls that he faced, fulfilling his purpose as a coach, helping owners and teams to achieve their dreams. When he's not guiding businesses toward success, Scott can be found hitting the gym, on the golf course, or racking up miles on his Peloton. Scott, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for being on the show.
William, thanks so much for the intro. It sounded so good. I wish I'd written it myself.
Welcome to Catalytic Leadership, the podcast designed to help leaders intentionally grow and thrive. Here is your host, author, and leadership and executive coach, Dr. William Attaway.
You know, William, when you read that intro, what I hear is, well, that's an old guy. Yeah, that's right. You hear the word paper route, you're like, what? Paper route? What's that?
What's a paper?
we just skewed the audience to the over 50 set. But that's right, it. Like that.
And we're fine with that, right? We're fine with that.
No, that's perfect. Hey, I'm proud of it. I was living in the countryside in Connecticut, so it wasn't just throw them at the end of the driveway. It was up the hill, drop it at the door, down the hill, up the hill. Like that was the route. Oh, no, a lot of bike miles. So I guess that's where the Peloton comes from. I did a lot of bike miles as a kid doing the paper route.
You never skipped leg day.
That's right. That's
right. Scott, I would love for you to share some of your story with our listeners. I hit some of the high points, but I'd love to hear more about your journey and particularly your development as a leader.
Yeah, it was, it's interesting with that one because I serve as a business coach now. And you'll say, well, I had to get from there to what you're doing before was really leading these large operations. For some companies that you've heard of, I worked for Capital One, for example, for a long period of time, right? Leading some big operations there, helping drive execution, delivering on the customer-facing aspect of the business, either in bringing on new credit card customers or working with customers on the customer service side. So, and doing that across the globe. And the one thing I pulled from all of that was this desire I've always had is to coach and teach and help others. And so when you say leading others, it really comes from that. And I can point to a bunch of different examples over the course of my time where I really made great connections with some individuals and helped them achieve what they wanted to achieve, whether that was a promotion or even maybe it was leaving the company they were in and moving on to something else to achieve that in their life. But just creating that environment and that platform for folks to shine and taking some of my own experiences and applying them there. But every time I look back at, okay, I had this job doing this thing, but it was those opportunities to connect with others and give them the space to grow, which is the stuff that sticks with you for such a long time, right? And that's the stuff that I remember up to. I mean, I just had lunch this week with someone that I worked with 7 years ago. She and I worked together for a bunch of years at a company, but we've just stayed in touch even past that time. And she's actually stayed with that company. I moved along. We just, you know, those are the type of things that you just remember for your life as opposed to just working with a group of others. And then when you leave, you leave. Try not to do that and to keep those things going forward.
I love the other-centric part of that, what you just shared. Yeah. You know, the focus on other people, how you can add value, how you can build them up. I think that is such a large part of what effective, what I call catalytic leadership really is. Yeah. You know, it's leadership that makes a difference. It's focused on benefiting other people. And it feels like that's so much a part of who you are.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it comes from, I coached some basketball very early on. Did a little bit while I was in college and then right afterwards. And to me, there was nothing better than spending some time you know, during a practice or sometimes even after a practice, working one-on-one with a player and saying, you know, let's, how could we incorporate this in your game? Or let me show you this. Can you use this? Yeah, so many different aspects to play in any sport. And it was great then to see that happen. Right. So you see, okay, we worked on this, then it occurs. And it's like, well, there's no difference in business or owning your own business. Like when you can share with someone and then they actually can then execute right in the moment in the field, on the playing field, or even on, you know, in the day to day or in business, right? You've got to come from it there. So whether you call that servant leadership or help first or, you know, leading from the heart, inverting the pyramid, I don't know. There's a lot of terms for it, right? You probably, you know, talk to folks and come from all, but you've got to be in that space if you want to do well. One of the things I used to say to new leaders, because it was said to me and it's always hit. And it just resonated. And I remember this day, and this was my first job in the corporate world leading others. Okay. So I went from being a salesperson to being a sales manager. And the guy doing this training said, I'm going to look at you. I'm going to go, poof. I said, what's that? He goes, that's your ego.
Poof. Oh, that's
it's
great.
Gone. It's gone. Right. Poof, you can't gone. Lead with an ego. Right. And it was like that. I mean, I could tell, I mean, that was like, I was 23 or 24 and that happened. Like I remember it to this day.
Wow.
Because it's so true. Right. Like that was not going to serve me. What served me well, you know, going sales and, you know, get an award or top sales guy or commission check, whatever. You know, you can see, you know, in sales, particularly when you're younger, a little bit more selfish motivation there and moving in that leadership role. You don't do it for the money, right? You do it for something greater than yourself. And poof, there goes the ego. Lead with your heart.
That's fascinating. I love that. And I think you're spot on. You absolutely cannot lead from a place of ego. That's been my experience and so many of those that I've worked with and coached over the years. Scott, you're an EOS implementer. Mm-hmm. You help business owners build a solid foundation and a clear vision through that framework. You know, some listeners may be familiar with EOS, but I imagine some might not be. Can you talk to us about what EOS is? And how that can really help a business owner to get a grip on what they're doing with their business.
EOS is short for the Entrepreneurial Operating System. So I always hesitate. You say the word system, and it is not a software. Right? This is about really getting all of the human beings that are in your organization rowing in the same direction and executing against a vision that you set out. So the system are the tools and the techniques, the practices, the discipline to make that happen. So all of the credit for this, it dates back to a book written by Gino Wickman. The book is called Traction. And if you own a small business, whether it's just you, you and your buddy, you and your wife, you and your friend, or you've got a business of 25, 30 people that you want to grow, if you haven't picked up the book Traction, well, you've missed something. Because within that book are these tools and techniques that we then teach to business owners. But I guarantee you that if you grab that book and read it, you're going to grab something that you can put into practice right away. It's just chock full of nuggets that, oh, that makes sense. I should just do that, right? And then what we try to work with our clients around is the discipline to stick with it. So it's called Traction for a reason, right? It's about getting traction, getting your arms around your business. All business owners, they have an idea, right? They have a product or a service that's fulfilling a gap. Yeah. They've seen something that's not working, seen something they can do better, or they just have a true passion around what they're trying to bring to market.
Yeah.
So that's the vision. That's the idea. And so we want to make sure that vision is really clear to you and everyone else in the company. Mm. And then you have the traction to execute against it. Mm. And then third, and probably most importantly, that you've built a healthy, cohesive team. So when we talk about EOS, we talk about delivering vision, traction, and health to your team. And it's outlined through the book and some of the components that we work with our teams in delivering. So just really great stuff. And it's something I've been doing all my life. I didn't always call it Traction, didn't always call it EOS, but as you read the book, it's like, oh, I'm doing some of that. Here's how it's all packaged together nicely. And that's, I think, is the magic in the simplicity in EOS is the packaging and how it all feeds together very nicely.
I love that. I'm a systems guy, right? I think the systems are how you get predictable, repeatable success. And so often people they push against that idea. They push against systems. They're like, I'd rather wing it. Yeah. You ever encounter that? Like, what do you say to somebody who's like that?
Yeah, I mean, the entrepreneurial spirit is a little bit of that emotion and gut instinct, which has served, we call them visionaries, but founders so well, right? Yeah. That's right. I know this is going to work. I have such belief in myself, and my instinct is saying, go do it, right? And they follow that instinct, and it's fantastic because there are others that don't have that instinct that admire those, right? I mean, the vision behind Apple, to probably use the best example, that's a Steve Jobs vision, but you had to have the execution just to make a go of it, right? And so all the credit in the world, not everyone's going to be the creative mind behind Apple and all the wonderful products that many of us use today. But it's how you're going to get that into something that is something that is sustainable, that is consistent, and then scalable. And that's the system here. So, and I approach things from that execution side as well. So you said you're a systems guy. I'm a process guy. I'm the get stuff done guy and have been for a long time. I don't necessarily always have that vision, but we teach that you've got to have both those two parts in an organization to really make it go. So the words that we use in EOS are visionary, founder, idea, guy or gal, and then integrator. And the integrator is the glue person, the one that holds everything together. And those two pieces need to work very well together, be very complementary, almost a yin and a yang, so to speak. And when those two things are working together, we actually call that rocket fuel. It's what fuels companies. When you bring those two powerful entities, those two bodies together, you can really have your organization take off. And we spend lots of time talking with companies around, you know, what do you have in place? What do you need to really create that rocket fuel in your business?
Does the visionary or founder and integrator operator, like, do they usually get along like peas and carrots? I mean, is that usually just, you know, smooth sailing for both parties?
Not normally, frankly, and it's hard to find. You know, there's a stat out there, William, and I've heard it in two different ways, that there's roughly four visionaries for every integrator. So there's many more idea people than execution people, because the execution's hard, right? That's the tough job. I'm going to hold everyone accountable. I'm going to mind the budget. No visionary, you can't go start two other companies or two other ideas while we're trying to build this company, right? Where the visionary has got these ideas. Typically, our integrators are the ones that hold folks accountable, have the tough conversations, hire and fire the people. And that's a tough work. And those that do it well are to be credited. I don't know what the percentages are and how often they get together, like peas and carrots, because sometimes they can be oil and water, but you're right, and that's not rocket fuel. But when the visionary can find the right integrator, that's when it can really happen. And there's lots of great resources for visionaries out there to look at that, whether it's a full-time person, part-time person, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of resources for business founders and owners to find their right person. Right, they're right, guy or gal to make the business go forward on. But the truly great companies have both. Truly great companies have both.
That's really good.
Yeah,
you know, when a founder hears you talk about systems and processes and you know, repeatable results and that type of structure, you know, they feel like, oh, you're trying to put me into a cookie cutter framework. You're trying to make me like everybody else. I've got my own secret sauce. I've got my way of doing things, right? I've got my unique ability.
Absolutely.
How do you integrate that EOS framework that is so important, so critical for success, into a mindset like that?
Well, in many ways, you're going to be who you're going to be, William. And so that's why we think it's so critical to have the roles separate. There are a few unicorns out there who have the mindset where they can both dream big and come up with the next few ideas, but also have the discipline to dot the I's and cross the T's when it comes to running a business. They do exist out there. And we do describe, there's a continuum there. We actually offer an assessment for free. Anyone can take it. Am I more visionary? Am I more integrator? And you can have little elements of both, but you can just see where you're on that scale, 0 to 100. So my visionary part of me is like in the mid 40s, but my integrator part of me is in the mid 80s, right? These are the things that I prefer to do. So you used a great term there, unique ability.
Yeah.
You've got it, right? You need to determine what are the things that I really like to do and what are the things that I'm really good at. And we just use a simple 4-box, once again, it's a simple tool, but a simple 4-box exercise, 2x2. What do I like to do? What don't I like to do? What am I good at? What am I not very good at? And take all of the activities that you do, no matter your job, right? So let's talk about the visionary. All the things that that visionary likes to do. Well, let's just give you the opportunity to do as many of those things for most of your day. And that's allowed you to delegate to that superpower, that unique ability. And then you bring in others, because the beautiful thing is the stuff that you don't like to do and are not very good at, that's someone else's superpower.
Yeah.
Right. Find that piece to do that. And oftentimes easier said than done, because delegation's hard and I don't like to let go of things. But when you can really get into that space and be of the mind that I've got to stay focused on the things that I'm really good at, right? Yeah. So I can do a little visionary work. So in the business that I own with my wife, she's actually further along the integrator continuum than I am. Mm. So she actually plays the role. I have to slide into the visionary role, but it allows me to give her that complementary piece. If I try to integrate, she tries to integrate, we got problems, because she's better at it than I am. Right. So I slide over there and provide that for her. But most often I'm going to be that execution side of things. So for the vision that you're saying, the key thing is to recognize this is what I like to do. This is what I want to get out. And that's actually how you move forward in business. There's a couple great books written by Dr. Benjamin Hardy with Dan Sullivan. So those two guys have written two great books. The first one is Who Not How. Knowing who should be doing what, right? So it's about the who's in the business, not the hows, right? Let those people do it. And the other one is 10X is easier than 2X. And the 10X book speaks to the very ideas. You need to keep elevating your game, knocking down stuff that you're no good at, think higher and higher, particularly as a visionary, and stay focused on the things. And that's how you not worry about incremental growth in your business, but you actually 10X your business by continuing to get rid of all the stuff that's no good and go higher and higher in your thinking and your approach. Very complementary to what we try to teach within the EOS framework.
That's so helpful. And it, in some ways, it's counterintuitive, really, for a lot of the people that I've worked with. Like, for them to hear that, they're like, what do you mean? Like, is that really for real? I mean, you know, there's a sense people look at somebody like you and they're like, oh yeah, you know, you've got this, you understand all this. You know, I bet your business, since you started it, knowing all this, it's just been straight up and to the right. You haven't hit any ceilings at all.
Right. That would be a fallacy, right? Because every business grows and fits and starts. Every business looks like that EKG with a bunch of ceilings, up, you know, peaks and valleys, right? And we actually do have a concept. You hit on the right terminology, hitting the ceiling, right? We have this concept that's in place. It's every business. It's every individual. Think of any journey that you're on. Oh, I'm looking behind your bookshelf there, William. I'm going to read 50 books this year, read a book a week. Well, you're going to have times when you're reading 3 books a week and times when you hit a ceiling, don't want to crack the spine of a book, right? And so, okay, what am I going to do to break through that? Well, we give you some tools to utilize to help you break through a ceiling and then grow a little bit and then get to the next ceiling. Good. What we find though, William, is all too often when an individual or a small business hits that ceiling, they flatline, or worse yet, the business fails. It falls off because they don't have those tools to overcome. And if the only tool that you have is the blood, sweat, and tears that you as an individual are putting into it, you're actually increasing your likelihood of not breaking through the ceiling. Mm. Right. That's why it's so important to bring others in around you that's going to allow you to elevate, allow you to 10X, allow you to move up. So specifically for me, of course, I hit ceilings. I hit ceilings in the business I own with my wife. I hit ceilings in my coaching practice. I have a podcast. I hit ceilings in the podcast. Like, it's life, right? You're training for an event. You're going to run a race. I'm going to hit a ceiling. I got to change my training, do something different. Like, this is just natural. And as you acknowledge them and then figure out, okay, I'm here. What am I going to do differently to break through? That's where you can really see the growth. But you've got to do something different, right? More of the same is not going to be the answer.
So true. You know, Scott, you are not the same leader you were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Your business needs you to lead at a higher level today. Yeah. And 5 years from now, that's going to be true even more. What do you do to like level up your new leadership game? How do you stay on top of your game and acquire the skills that you're going to need to be the leader that your team, that your company is going to need a year, 3 years, 5 years from now?
Man, do I love this question. Because of course, in my own journey, I've hit a few ceilings along the way, but in the last 5 to 7 years, let's call it, I have made a commitment to staying on a learning journey and just looking for different resources to challenge the way that I'm thinking, expand my thinking. So a lot of that comes in the shape of books. I'll be the first to admit that. I've read some fascinating books, and not every book is for every person, but you can typically grab a few things from each one. That's going to up your game, right? Just stay curious in learning. So critical, I'm sure, William, you've heard that. And I know you believe in that as well. So you want to keep doing that. I listened to a few podcasts. I learned from those, right? So I'm always interested, right? There's plenty of good sort of awesome sports podcasts, but I also know there's some business podcasts. Like, okay, I'm going to challenge the way that I'm thinking here. What's going on that I need to do differently? So obviously that is a new ever growing medium here in the last, I don't know, 5-7 years. It's just taken off. That's a great way. If you're not a book reader, you can certainly be a listener. The last piece is something that is really fresh, and that's why I'm so happy to ask this question, is I've been thinking and doing some work around mental fitness. So I have spent a lot of time, and I jokingly put in the bio about being on the Peloton, but it's been a lot of time on physical fitness, right? I think it's really critical. I try to stay active, doing something, right, to stay active. But the mental fitness has been an area that I've neglected. And I've spent the last 7 weeks going through a program on mental fitness, and I'm going to stay committed to it. Beyond that, just kind of re-upped with this organization. It's called Positive Intelligence, and I'm diving deep on the Positive Intelligence. If you've had any exposure to that, William, it's some powerful stuff. But it really is just keep training your brain like you train your body, right? Well, how do you get better at, I don't know, running further? Well, every day you run a little further, you change up your training, or you do some speed work to do some endurance work. I don't know. There's training techniques. Same thing here with mental fitness. So a couple minutes every day, I'm being very attentive to my mental fitness. What's going on there? What do I need to change? Am I letting my saboteurs, is the language of that particular that particular training, am I letting my saboteurs take over? Am I acknowledging those? And am I doing something to get back into the sage part of my brain, the wise part of my brain that knows everything's okay, and not let the saboteurs take control? And I have certainly been guilty over the course of my life of letting the saboteurs be the dominant in my brain. And right now I'm working on that sage part of my brain. And that's been the most eye-opening thing I've done in the last couple of months that I'm pretty committed to sticking with here and continuing to work on that mental fitness.
So many things I love about that, Scott. Truly. I mean, the intentionality with which you've approached this, the purpose that you're attacking it with, I love that. You know, the mental health, the mindset that we bring as business owners, as leaders, is a big light on the dashboard. And like you mentioned, so often we look at our physical health, we look at our emotional health. If you're a person of faith, you might look at your spiritual health. But the mental component is one we don't often address, and your mindset, I have found your mindset is where you will find success or failure because of the saboteurs that you mentioned. That is exactly spot on. And so few people understand that light on the dashboard is truly as or more important than the others that we are so cognizant of so often.
The value for me was just being able to label them.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
just there's a book on this. If you want to read the book, there's a program that we can talk about, but however you get exposed to it, but Shirzad is just, he's done great work in just giving labels to these things that work against you. Once again, there's a quick assessment you can do to find out what are the things that really are most prevalent, and they all show up at some time or another, but there's some dominant ones. I now know exactly what mine are, and it's like spot on. And I can see when I can feel and see and understand when they're coming, and I can like, okay, and just acknowledging that and just stopping them. He calls it the hand on the stove for your mind. Right. We all learn that as kids. Yeah. Right. And that once again, his framework, not mine. So I'm borrowing here, but his framework, right. You put your hand on the stove and you can react quickly. Not that you'll never put your hand on the stove or touch something hot, but you've got the reflex to do that, burning pan, whatever you want to call it. Well, that's the same thing here. It's like, oh,
there's my hyperachiever saboteur. It's now, you know, I'm not comparing myself to everybody. Oh, hot stove. Nope. I understand. I'm better than that. Here's an exercise I can do to get away from that negative. And it's in the moment where you got to practice. That's the mental fitness in the moment. It's easy to reflect on it a couple of days later or even months later. Ah, back then I should have done this. Good to learn. But the teaching there is the fitness to do it in the moment, react. And that the more often you do that, that's the training. And then it becomes automatic. It's second nature. Yeah. And that's hard for me. I mean, it's hard for me to do, but there's a lot of value in the process he takes through. And I also like it because it's an operating system. He's built an operating system.
That's right.
So getting back to what we talked about, it's just like, oh, all right, I get that. Like I can follow a system, right? And he's done a great job with the technology and all that. So I'm very, very passionate about this. And my intent is to introduce this to some of my small business clients and help them with that. Because obviously when you're running a small business with these up and downs and these ceilings you're hit, well, you've got to have the mental strength and the mental fitness to understand that that's going to happen. Like just accept it. Okay. I've hit the ceiling. What are the steps, techniques, tools I'm going to put into play to get beyond this particular ceiling I've hit? So that mental, as well as the tools that we can bring, I think it's a great complement to what I'm trying to bring to my clients.
I love that. You know, if we could go back and talk to Scott when he was 20 years old, and you were able to have a conversation and share one thing with that 20-year-old Scott, based on what you know now, what you've learned along the way, what would you love to go back and tell yourself?
So the first thing I do is just slow down.
Slow down.
Just slow down. I mentioned saboteur of hyperachiever. My other one is being restless. So a lot of stuff going on all the time. And I'll be the first to admit, did a little chasing through my career. Oh, I have this title. What's the next title? I have this particular raise. What's the next raise? Oh, here's this commission. What could be the next commission? Oh, there's a sales ranking, sales standings. How do I get to the top of the sales, right? Just kind of chasing and not celebrating enough along the way. That'd be the first one. Just slow the heck down.
Wow.
That's hard because, right, life is well lived and had a lot of great things along the way. But you know, appreciating those things, the moment, being a little more present is something that we all could benefit from, and certainly very, you know, guilty as charged on that. That'd be the first thing. Second thing, I was actually my passion at 19 and 20, I got away from, and ironically. And I don't know if it would have ever happened because I never gave it a chance, but I got away from it. And my passion was around sports casting and sports writing. And so I did an internship with some newspapers. I had a couple of chances with ESPN that I missed out on way back when. This is 30-something years ago. So this was just at the beginning of it. And now it's just as an industry, it's taken off. And I would just wonder if, like, I would have been at the beginning of this explosion in sports media and marketing. Like, what would happen if I had stayed with it? I have no idea, William. I mean, you don't know because that's a path not traveled.
Yeah.
But I look back and say, what if I had continued with that passion? Because I had done it and loved it and thought that was going to be my life for so long. But a couple of things didn't happen. And I turned a corner. I went a different direction, took a different path. No regrets on taking the path, but just look back and say, I wonder if.
Wow. Yeah, the slow down, just slow down. That's fascinating. And that's not something I often hear from leaders of your caliber. But I think there's so much wisdom there because, you know, in the high performing, high capacity phase that so many founders and entrepreneurs live in, they're not thinking slow down.
Yeah.
They're thinking, how do I make it faster? How do I run faster? How do I do this better, more efficiently so that I can be faster? I can get to the results I want faster. It's all about faster. Yeah. I love what you're saying there.
Have you ever heard the phrase "slow down to speed up"?
Yes, yes.
Right, and I would say that would be the takeaway and the advice I'd give that guy way back then, because you can still be that person, right? No one's. I want to make sure it's clear, right? It's okay to want to achieve things.
Yeah,
right. That's actually great. It's great. There is absolutely nothing wrong with it. In fact, have big, crazy goals.
Yes.
Right. But those are wants.
Yes.
What do you need?
Mm.
that's a much different conversation. Yes. And it's that's something that I've just been working on distinguishing as well, because there have been times when I thought I needed what I just wanted.
That's good.
Yeah. So what is it? Where are those things in your buckets, and understanding those? Because I think it's great to have a list of wants. I'd be the first one to say, write down the things that you would like to acquire, the stuff you'd like to get to, the whatever those things are. I want a second house in the beach. Great. Put it on a piece of paper. Put it in your drawer. When you write it down, it's real. Good. Mm-hmm. Let that be that big goal out there. You don't need it.
Right.
You don't need that. So the mental fitness comes from making sure on the need side you understand that, while still embracing what could be down the line, because that's the slowdown. Mm. Don't get yourself all spun up around wants, because you're meeting what you need. Mm. So that's what I mean by that, because I still have plenty of things I want to accomplish. But the mindset is, you know, what's the need there, and can I come from a different place in getting there? And I think there's a lot of reading and study and science that would say that you actually can get all the things that you want, as long as you don't get wrapped up in what all that you need today.
You know, the drive is what distinguishes so many entrepreneurs, the successful ones, you know, and that's so important. But the question that I'm asking a lot these days with my clients and with other groups that I speak to is around sustainability. Is this a sustainable pace that you're currently running at?
Right.
Can you sustain this for the long haul? Can you sustain this for the next year? And far too often, the answer, when I ask that question, the answer is, well, no, I don't think I can.
Of course not.
Yeah. And they've never thought the question. They've never asked it. And when I pose it to them, it's like, oh, wow. I mean, is that a concern? You know, the sustainable pace among the entrepreneurs that you see, the founders that you see. Do you see that problem as well?
Yeah. Well, sure. So the reason why folks ever knock on the door of, we call ourselves implementers, EOS implementers, but business coach, right? I mean, the reason that folks knock on the door for that is they're realizing that the pace is not sustainable, or, you know, I created a business because I wanted to work for myself. I wanted to be responsible for my success. Right. I don't want to rely on someone else to do it for me. And then there should be some freedom that comes along with the idea of being your own boss. And then what happens is the inverse of that, exactly what you're talking about. Wait a second. I'm my own boss, but I'm spending 80 hours a week doing this. I never am able to separate from it. I think about it when I'm sleeping. I think about it when I'm awake. Like, it's always happening. I never get a chance to break away from it. And this is not what I thought it was going to be. So those are actually the type of people that we want to talk to. Right. We can help them with that, right? And get back to, what is it that you truly want from this business? What is it that you're doing? There are those few that this is what they want. They're workaholics. They do this, healthy or not. That's just what they're right. But what is it that you truly want from this business? And then, okay, now here are the steps. Here's the things that you're going to have to consider to take on. And one of the first ones is this idea that we talked about earlier, is this delegate and elevate. Where is your time best well spent? I know you can do the bookkeeping.
Right.
You are smart enough to do that, Mr. or Mrs. Business Owner. Should you be doing the bookkeeping? Is that the right use of your time?
Yes.
Right. The answer to that, of course, is no, because I'm thinking about the strategy and the business and that. All right. Well, should you be the one that has to talk to every client? Well, at the beginning, of course you are. You're doing it yourself with a small group. But as you grow, maybe not. Maybe trust some others, hire the right people. And we talk about, who do you need to bring on to be complementary? What should they look like? Defining those really well, right? We spend most of our time talking about people related items, right? What is the right person for your company? Right. And the right person aligns with the culture, the values, what you care about, right? That right person is critical. And then secondly is, what is the right seat? And when we say right seat, what is the skill set that's needed to do the work? And you have to have both in every single employee. And so we've got some simple tools to assess right person, good cultural fit, right seat actually can do the work. And we use those tools to help determine what you have today and then what you need for going forward. So the way to realize that I can slow down and not run at 80 miles an hour at the time and maybe back it off to just a nice calm 60 miles an hour, right, is to find those right people, right seat to complement what I'm doing. And I can build that trust in there, right? Who, not how, yes. Right? So who should be doing that? I'm not going to more or less about how they're doing it and trust that's there. So critical component of EOS and borrowed from Jim Collins is this right person, right people, right seat conversation. And that is a hard, hard conversation for business owners.
Just because you can do a thing does not mean you should do a thing. You know, there's a sticky note I've got on my left monitor here that I see every day. And I've got a question that I ask myself all the time. Is this the absolute best use of my time right now? And so often I find myself responding no.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Somebody else should be doing that. Somebody else on the team should be doing what I'm doing right now. Why have I not handed it to them? But I need that reminder every day. Because even as long as I've been doing this and as much as I tell other people this, I still struggle with it too.
Look, we're guilty of it. I teach it and that's it. But the cobbler's kid has no shoes, right? Sometimes.
That's right.
It can happen a little bit of time from time to time, right? That you don't take care of yourself that way. But you know, those that do it and do it well are the businesses that we see that can scale and can continue to grow. Right. There's some great things. There's actually a EOS had put out some podcasts last year where they were talking to EOS clients who went through this exact same transformation where they were in their business and going, running at the speed you're talking about. And once they were able to bring in the framework and the tools associated with EOS, they could then spend all their time on their business. And they were being so much more effective with so much less time. And it just changed the entire dynamic, changed their health, changed their mental outlook, like all of the things that run down a business owner, right? Because it's physical health, mental, all those things that we talked about earlier, like that gets run down if you're in your business all the time. And it's hard. Look, I have a small business. My wife, we talk all about, she is in the business a lot, right? And so we look for little wins where we can not have her in the business, but working on the business. And every time you can make even a little bit of a change there, it's that much more freeing, right? It's just that, and you just kind of build on each one of those decisions that you make as you're talking about, okay, I can slide this to someone who's just a little better suited for it. They like it. It's in their unique ability. Like they like it and they're good at it. Like, okay, let me slide that. But it's hard. It's hard to let go. I want to acknowledge it for everyone. It's hard to let go. But the sooner you do, the better you'll be.
So good. You know, you're obviously a continual learner. You've mentioned that a number of times already on the show. And you've referenced several books that have made a difference in your journey. Traction, you know, 10X is easier than 2X. Who knows how? I'm curious, if there were one book that the people listening, the leaders who are listening, could put on their to-read list, would it be one of those, or would there be another one that has made a big difference for you?
Well, I like them all and reference them all, but just in the spirit of sharing a little bit more, I'll add the third book from Hardy and Sullivan, which is called The Gap in the Game, which is another one. It just talks about the approach that you're taking each and every day of the work that you're doing, since we did talk about this. And when are you operating from a place of gain versus where are you operating from a place of gap, right? The gap is what I'm missing, what I'm not doing, all of those want things that are driving me, versus the gain, which is the appreciation of what you have achieved and building on where you've been, not trying to, you know, where you're going, right? If you live in the gap, you're thinking about, well, I should be here with my business. I should have a $10 million business now. Why am I only at 5 million? Well, I'm living in the gap, right? But if you're in the gain, say, well, my business today is 5 million. Just a couple of years ago, it was 3 million. And 10 million is now my 5-year target. Okay, great. Like, let's get right. So where are you? Where are you there? Gap or gain? Once again, it's not about goal setting. It's just about understanding as you approach your day-to-day work. And I'm very much simplifying the work that Hardy and Sullivan put together. But it's get tons of value. Once again, pulled a few simple exercises from it that I used. Mm-hmm. Or each day I'm recording. Okay, what were the gains I made today? Yeah. Right. I mean, William, I'm sure you thought, 1% better every day compounding makes you a whole lot better by the end of the year.
Indeed.
Right? Indeed. Just compound that out there. I don't know what the numbers are, but you know, that compounding 1% better every day where you're just gaining a little bit. And I just try to track those things like, okay, I may not have done it all right today, right? I probably spent some time on some stuff I shouldn't have, but I did have some gains. So what are those things that I actually gained and had that move the ball a little bit down the field? 1% better today. Great. Let me note that. I also do keep track of my wants on that same little journal, right? So these are the gains. Those wants still stay there. So I still have my long-term things that I want, but they're not needs. If I don't need those things to still be happy in what I did today and the gains that I can appreciate. So I'll just add the gap and the gain to someone's reading list.
That's really good. Often people will walk away from an episode like this, Scott, with one big idea. Mm-hmm. If you could define what you want that one big idea to be, what would that be?
If you're a business owner, really think about what you want from your business. What are you looking to get out of your business, right? Just get your mind around that. What are you looking to accomplish there? And if that is not in sight, then it's worth having a conversation. We like to say that every business owner should have three things in place. One, they should have a mentor or a coach or someone one-on-one that they can connect with just to bounce ideas off of, right? That's not working for them, but is going to give them some real honest feedback. So have a coach or a mentor or a friend that you trust. Have a peer group. Join a group, form a group, whatever, but have a group of people where you can share those ideas and run your business on a system. I like EOS. We talked about EOS. That's there. There's others, right? They you can go listen to other podcasts. People talk about other things, right? They're out there. Yeah. They all have their benefits. I like what Gino laid out in EOS, but have an operating system. Have a way you're going to execute. Don't use instinct and emotion to run your business. Have a system so you can execute. So those three things are key. So know what you want and then have those three things in place. And that's going to help you get what you want.
That's so good. This has been so helpful, Scott.
I appreciate the generosity
that you've poured out here in sharing so much of the insights and wisdom that you've learned so far. I know people are going to want to stay connected with you and continue to learn from you. What is the best way for them to do that?
I try to get out there on LinkedIn. So I'm out there. It's Scott Goodrich-EOS. So hopefully it can find me fairly easy on LinkedIn. On EOS Worldwide, which is the website for EOS, there's actually a little over 700 business coaches working and sharing EOS with companies that are out there. We've got 22,000 companies running on EOS right now with a business coach. You can find me on the EOS Worldwide site just by searching my name, Scott Goodrich. So that's a great way to check out. And if you've got an interest in listening to some entrepreneurial stories where they hit ceilings and go backwards and all these overnight success stories that you hear that take a few years to actually occur, right? Oh, those crazy overnight success stories that, you know, happened over the course of 10 years, you can find that. My podcast is called Grow Your Damn Business. And that's also, you can check me out there as well.
Love that. Definitely check out Scott's podcast. It is fantastic. Highly recommend it. Scott, again, thank you for being here today.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. Love your show. Got introduced to it a while back. We should probably give Podmatch a shout out. That's how we connected and that's how I found it. And it's always great to give Alex a shout out with what he's done for independent podcasters. And I'm glad that we were able to connect through that network as well. But Williams, thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate all that you do and admire what you've been able to build with your show.
Thanks for joining me for this episode today. As we wrap up, I'd love for you to do two things. First, subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. And if you find value here, I'd love it if you would rate it and review it. That really does make a difference in helping other people to discover this podcast. Second, if you don't have a copy of my newest book, Catalytic Leadership, I'd love to put a copy in your hands. If you go to catalyticleadershipbook.com, you can get a copy for free. Just pay the shipping so I can get it to you and we'll get one right out. My goal is to put this into the hands of as many leaders as possible. This book captures principles that I've learned in 20 plus years of coaching leaders in the entrepreneurial space, in business, government, nonprofits, education, and the local church. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn to keep up with what I'm currently learning and thinking about. If you're ready to take a next step with a coach to help you intentionally grow and thrive as a leader, I'd be honored to help you. Just go to catalyticleadership.net to book a call with me. Stay tuned for our next episode next week. Until then, As always, leaders, choose to be catalytic.
Thanks for listening to Catalytic Leadership with Dr. William Attaway. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. Want more? Go to catalyticleadership.net.